The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Oh, yeah. Somebody say, he's made a way. Yes, Lord, he's made. Woo! Oh, yeah, he's made a way. He's made. Oh, yeah, he's made a way. Father God, we come right now in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We come to say yes to the fact that you are our God. We come to say yes because you've made a way. We come to say yes because you are our friend. We come to say yes to the fact that it was Jesus who died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. We come to say yes to the fact that he was buried, but he got up on the third day morning. We come to say yes to the fact that you are our God, our guide, and our guarantee. Father God, it is our hope and it is our prayer that everything that has been said and done in this place has been pleasing unto your sight, that you would continue to bless us beyond measure, that you would continue to keep us better than we could ever keep ourselves. Forgive us for our many sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, mistakes that we've made, anything that we've left undone, anything you told us to do and we didn't do. We love you today. We extol you and we magnify your holy, your precious, and your righteous name. Now, Father God, as we come to the hour where we need to hear a word from you, Lord, speak right now to your people. Speak to your sheep. You said, my sheep know my voice. If we ever needed to hear a word from you before, Lord, surely we need to hear from you right now. So, Lord, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you would be seen, and silence me that you would be heard. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's truly in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, that we pray. Together we say amen. On last Sunday, the Lord blessed us to hear a word from Psalm 23, verse 4. Subject was, I may be going through, but I'm going through with God. Some of you desire to have the copy of that on our CD, and we weren't able to duplicate it for you. We're glad to let you know that we have copies for you today. And for some of you, maybe you can take advantage of hearing the word streamed on our website, but we want you to know that we have those today. If you look at the pastor's pen on this morning, you also see there's a word that the Lord gave me from Psalm 31. So as you can see, God has me steeped in this wonderful book, as on today we will hear a word from Psalm 31. Come on, somebody. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you would please do so. Psalm 31, it's from whence the word of God will come, has been on me these past few weeks and maybe for a little while. You have heard me say this before, and I say it again. I love praise, I love worship, I love to uplift the name of Jesus. But at the end of the day, we gotta make sure that when some folk come down and they hit the ground and they got to go home, that we're giving you more than just hype. But you get some help, some needed hope in this hopeless world, and some healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 5 is from whence the word of God will come. Be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. Good God Almighty. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, come on somebody, comes in the morning. My God, I read verse 5 again. It says, for his anger is but for a moment. Somebody should say, thank you for mercy, God. Come on somebody. His favor is for life. Somebody be saying, thank you for grace, my God. Then when you hear that word, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That just gets a hallelujah, God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, God. Amen. Amen. Do me a favor and help me with the subject. I want you to help somebody and turn to them. Say, neighbor, trouble don't last always, but you must pray and hold on until you see your morning come. Come on, somebody, help somebody. Tell them, neighbor, trouble don't last always, but you must pray and hold on until you see your morning come. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise up in this house. You may be seated in the presence of our God. That's good news. Jesus. That trouble don't last always. Good God Almighty. But you got to pray and hold on until you see your morning come. My brothers and my sisters, everybody has cried at some time or another. Some may cry often with their tears being visible, while others may cry only on the inside with no visible tears. Am I talking to anybody that's ever felt like that? I'm not talking to anybody that's done any crying lately. Come on, somebody. There are times in every life when each of us feels like crying. Crying is universal. Everyone cries, no matter what gender, race, or nationality we happen to be. We all cry. Usually our tears represent the condition of our spirit at the time. Teach, Holy Ghost. When our spirit is full, one way or another, we cry. There are times we cry when we're happy. We cry at weddings, reunions, graduations, and special ceremonies marking different achievements. If we watch a movie that has a happy and sentimental ending, tears flow like a river. Amen? They are tears of joy. These are moments when we are so happy that we cannot contain ourselves. But most often, we cry when we are sad. Death, sickness, failure, hurt, heartbreak, and disappointment are powerful, powerful emotions that control our spirit and very often moves us to cry. David wept over the death or the sickness of his son. Jesus wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. It's not unusual for us to weep in times of trouble and despair. It is a way of emptying our soul. You've heard me say so many times over and over again that trials, trouble, tribulation, and disappointment are inevitable. They are impartial. In other words, they aren't selective. They come to the saved as well as the unsaved. They come to the rich and to the poor, men, women, boys, and girls, young, middle-aged, senior, amen, black or white, wait a minute, watch this, American or immigrant, come on somebody. No one is exempt from trouble. However, hear me when I say this, while trials and tribulations and disappointments will invariably come into our lives, our being defeated by them is not predestined. I'll say it again. Yes, while trials and tribulations, disappointments will invariably come into all of our lives, our being defeated by them is not predestined. As a matter of fact, not only can we survive the slings and the arrows that life and even sometimes the devil himself will throw at us. Come on, somebody. We can actually triumph over tribulation. One of the keys for us to successfully getting through hard times and coming out on the other side triumphant, and it involves the acquisition of a virtue called endurance. Endurance, Clark, is patience under assault. Good God Almighty. Amen. It is stamina in the courts of tribulation. It is the resilience or the determination in the face of opposition. The 12th chapter of Hebrews, the author of that epistle, likens the Christian life to a race. But not just any race. He compares the Christian life to a marathon rather than a sprint. He seemingly seems to reference the words of Solomon back in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 11, where he says, the race is not to the swift. You see, in a sprint, the most valuable asset is raw speed. But in a marathon, the most valued attribute is endurance. That's why in Hebrews 12 and 1, it admonishes us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Knowing then that troubles, trials, dangers, and disappointments will come our way, you and I are to acquire the virtue of endurance, not only to survive our triumphs, our tribulations, but to triumph over them. David knew something about troubles in life and his dangers in his life. He saw great victories like his defeat over Goliath, saw great victories like being chosen as king of Israel. He triumphed over his enemies, amen. But David also knew great failure, such as his adultery with Bathsheba, great grief having to deal with the death of an infant son, great distress and disappointment over another son rising up in rebellion against him. Yes, David experienced the highs and the lows of life in his fellowship with God. Yet David also died with the epitaph, he was a man after God's own heart. So you got to ask yourself the question, However did he do it? Not earn the epitaph, I'm talking about survive some of the stuff that he had to go through. For eventually he came to a revelation. He came to a realization that trouble don't last always. But he had to hold on and he had to pray until he saw his morning come. I believe that David gives us a recipe, if you will, for acquiring endurance in this 30th Psalm that he penned, which speaks to each and every one of us in our current situation or our status. Regardless of what it might be that you might be going through, big or small, simple or complicated. Don't you always wonder sometimes when folks say, when you ask, well, how's it going? They say, well, it's complicated, huh? Come on, somebody. Huh? Amen, amen, amen. Huh? Yeah, whatever the personal situation that motivated David to pen this song, we can tell that it was written as a testimony to triumphing over turmoil. And in it, my brothers and my sisters, there's a couple of things that I want to point out here. There are two key ingredients to acquiring the virtue of endurance. The first thing I want you to note, the first element to acquiring an endurance that will see us through to victory over tribulation is remembrance. We need to learn how to remember. Psalms 30, David remembers two important truths. The first is that God has successfully delivered him from troubles in the past. Y'all don't hear me in here. He has successfully delivered him from some troubles in the past. Therefore, he could be counted on to do it again. Second thing that David recognizes is that difficulties or troubles don't last always. They're just temporary. Watch the text. Watch the text. Notice that David remembers how God had successfully delivered him from difficulties in the past in the opening verses of the psalm. Watch this. In verse 1, he says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. Do me a favor and write down past tense. That's it. Verse 2, he says, you healed me. Past tense. Verse 3 says, you brought my soul up from the grave. Past tense. And you kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. The NIV says, you spared me from going down to the pit. Past tense. In other words, hear me when I say this. David kept in mind, what you and I should keep in mind, is that when troubles, trials, dangers, and disappointments come, God has already, come on somebody, delivered us and kept us before. You thought the last thing you was going through was going to kill you. And guess what? You're still here. You thought the last thing was going to take you out. But guess what? You're still here. You're still here. God woke you up. He brought you out. He brought you over. He brought you through. And guess what? He's the same God. He's the same God. The same God that brought you through the last thing you didn't think you was going to make it through. The same God can keep you in whatever you're in right now and deliver you at some point according to his will. Do me a favor and tell your neighbor. Tell them, neighbor, we can count on God. That's good news. Amen. We can count on God. We can be reassured that we won't be facing our trials alone. God is there for his people. And guess what? God is able. He did it before, and he'll do it again. But notice, watch this, what else David remembers about his life tribulations. He remembers that they are temporary. Again, that famous verse that we love to quote, but we got to get the understanding and the context of what David is talking about in verse 5. He says, for his anger is but for a moment. That should cause you to shout right now. I don't know about you, but I have not done everything right in my life. I have not dotted every I nor crossed every T. I haven't been saved all my life, and even since I've been saved, watch it now. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. God Almighty said it before, and I say it again, you can't work your way into heaven, but you can't work your way out of heaven either. It's by the grace of God, the grace and mercy of God. He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When you and I are in the midst of difficult times, it is easy to give in to hopelessness. And it is easy to begin to feel as if your own troubles and if your own trials and if your own setbacks and if your own disappointments will never end. This cancer will never go away. My marital problems will never be solved. I'm talking to somebody. I'll never find or get a job. I'll never find me a spouse or a significant other. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never finish school or have a successful career, etc., etc. I may not have hit yours on that list, but you got a I'll never. I thought about Job, Brother John, I thought about Job who had to endure a night season. Job had to endure a night season that was particularly distressing in his life. He lost virtually everything. He lost his children, his house, his servants, his business, his health, etc. Just about everything that meant anything to him. Matter of fact, in Job chapter 16, verse 16, Job said in the NIV, watch this. He said, my face is red with weeping, dark shadow rings my eyes. Does that sound like or describe anybody you know? I don't mean no harm, but has the person that stares back at you in the mirror been a face that's been red with weeping, dark shadow rings around your eyes? God Almighty. Yes, Job lost much, but the God of restoration brought him into a mourning season. For the same Bible, the same book, this time in Job 42, verse 10, tells us that after Job had prayed for his friends, good God Almighty, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him how much? Twice, good God Almighty, twice as much as he had before. I want to encourage somebody here up under the sound of my voice who may be feeling just like Job. You're going through a night season right now because you are dealing with some sort of loss or maybe even delay, just like Job. And you feel like your face is red with weeping. Dark shadows ring your eyes. I need you to know that trouble don't last always, but you're going to have to pray and hold on until you see your morning come. God is saying to somebody here up under the sound of my voice, he's saying, I want to restore your confidence. I want to restore your courage. I want to restore your hope. I want to restore even your joy. Isaiah 61:7, when God was talking to the children of Israel through his prophet Isaiah, he said, instead of your shame, I'm talking to somebody, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 6, verse 21, he says, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Second thing I want you to get from this text here in Psalm 30. The first thing that David did was part of his element for endurance was remembrance, but the second thing was rejoicing. David's enduring was composed of rejoicing. Watch the text, because in verse 4 it says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Drop down to 11 and 12. He says, you have turned for me my mourning. This time is mourning, not the morning, but is mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I've come to tell somebody, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. But let me teach this thing, because rejoicing involves praising God for who he is, praising God and giving thanks for all that he's done. We extol or we elevate God because he is God and we're not. And we need to thank him publicly and proudly for what he has already done. Keep in mind, hear me today, keep in mind that in order for rejoicing to be infused as a key element and acquiring that endurance that we all need to see us through to our victories, it's going to require an attitude adjustment. What are you saying, Pastor King? What do you mean, attitude adjustment? Matter of fact, somebody's saying, ain't nothing wrong with my attitude. No. What I'm saying is this. In order to see our way through some tough times, and in order for us to have victory over those times, it means that we're going to have to abandon hopelessness and despair, and we're going to have to assume the attitude of gratitude for what God has done, and we believe that God will do. We're going to have to learn how to lift up our voice and praise for his power, his preeminence, his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. That's why we rejoice. Amen. That's why we rejoice. Normally, when we encounter rough seas, we instinctively begin searching in what I call our little bags of tricks. Amen. For ways to get us out of the storm. Watch it now. Watch it. You know we go into our bag of tricks for trying to get through the stuff we're going through. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, we go in the bag looking for our negotiating skills. Go in the bag looking for our money, our good looks, our beauty, our charm, our charisma, our education, our reputation. We think all of that is going to get us out of, come on somebody, whatever the mess we might be in right now. We usually try everything in our own power and strength to get us through whatever difficulty we're experiencing. And guess what? Here's the false insecurity, because for a little while, those things sometimes work. For a little while, we can just make it just a little bit further on our own efforts. But here's the problem. They can never take us to the place of real growth and real sustainable change. As a matter of fact, they'll never take us to that permanent change called transformation. Because if you could change yourself, you wouldn't need God. If you could help yourself, you wouldn't need God. If you could do it yourself, you wouldn't need God. They will never take us They will never take us to the place of real growth and sustainable change, which ultimately becomes permanent change called transformation. Only God can do that, which means that only our trust in the Lord God can do the things that we ask him to do, can only do the impossible, because with man, it's impossible. David had endured tough times, and God had seen him through. Faith, my brothers and my sisters, is like a muscle. It must be stretched. It must be tried. It has to be tested. It has to be exercised in order for it to begin to grow strong. In other words, guess what? For some of us, we're not there yet, but here's what I'm talking about. We're going to have to come to the end of ourselves and know that we are at the end of ourselves before we can surrender and actually begin to rely on God for our ultimate good. You've heard me say it before, and I say it again. Sometimes, you don't know that God is all you need until God is all you have. You've run through every resource you know. You've drunk everything in the house. There's no more that can be smoked. There's no more phone calls you can make. There's no more text messages you can send. There's no more Twitter or tweets you can send. This is it. You are at the end of your rope, but I need somebody to reach beyond the break. Because when you get to that point of right about to break down, you need to let go and let God. Why? Because God knows us better than we could ever know ourselves. And can I tell you something else? As much good as you desire, and as much of the things that you ask God that you think are so are the right things, can I tell you this? God wants even greater for us than we can even ask or imagine for ourselves. So get ready to close. Verse 5 simply says, for his anger is but for a moment. That's when we have to thank God for mercy. His favor is for life. That's grace. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's a hallelujah, God. Trouble don't last always. But you're going to have to pray and hold on until your morning comes. And as God brings you, and I'm speaking into somebody's life right now, if God prepares to bring you into your morning season, every yoke and every stronghold of delay, it's going to be shattered in your life, and you're going to be filled with tears, but they're going to be tears of joy. The morning season is a time of joy. Why? Because that's the time when God comes down into that valley I talked about last week, and he visits with you, and he begins to turn those things around for you, and he begins to wipe away those tears of sadness. God is saying to somebody, I'm here to speak to you right now. He's saying, talking about himself, I want to restore your confidence. For somebody, you've lost your confidence. You don't think you can do whatever it is that God says you can do anymore. If you've been through some heartbreak, you're saying, I can't get into another new relationship anymore. He's saying to somebody else, I want to restore your courage. For somebody, you failed or you've fallen at whatever it is, and you're afraid of getting up. You're afraid of even trying something again or maybe something new. For somebody else, he's saying, I just need to restore your hope. When you get to a point of hopelessness, Because you've put your hope in the wrong things, the wrong people, the wrong circumstances, the wrong situations. For somebody, you thought that job was going to last you forever. You don't understand. Well, all of a sudden, you didn't quit them, they quit you. For somebody, talked about it last week, you've fallen off the wagon of an addiction. You see yourself at a point of moral failure. You got to a point of hopelessness and said, I just can't do it anymore. But you're almost on the brink of saying, I can't take it anymore. Because you put your hope in the wrong stuff. You're hoping that if I can just get this one hit, I'll be all right. For somebody else, God is saying, I even want to restore your joy. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. One of the biggest ways he begins is with discouragement, despair, and he wants to rob us of our joy. Somewhere in the psalm, I know the whiners made a song out of it. They said, uphold me with thine free spirit. And whatever you do, don't take your joy. Come on, somebody. Away from me. Uphold me with thine free spirit. Whatever you do, don't take your joy away from me. But in your meantime, I need to tell somebody, keep on keeping on, my brother. Keep on keeping on, my sister. Keep on keeping on, my child. Continue to do just like you've been doing. Put one foot in front of the other. Even if you're not walking as tall or as high as you used to, you keep on keeping on. You put one foot in front of the other. I know I'm talking to somebody who's tired. I'm talking to somebody that's exhausted. I'm talking to somebody that's frustrated. I'm talking to somebody that's angry. I'm talking to somebody even in the midst of this crowd, but yet you still feel lonely. But I need you, and I don't know who you are, but God does. I need you to keep on pressing. Keep pressing your way in this marathon Christian race that will take you to the ultimate finish line, where the Lord Himself is and will be waiting just for you. To crown you with the crown of life. But remember, you got to hold on. But you hold on knowing that whatever trouble you're going through, troubles don't last always. But you keep on praying. You keep on believing. You keep on hoping. That's what Jesus told the disciples. That's what he meant. That's what he was talking. Told him, he says, listen, even when he was going to the cross, he said, there are going to be some things you're going to see that's going to blow your mind. Some stuff that you're going to watch me endure that you're not going to understand. But I need you to keep on hoping, keep on believing in me, keep on believing in my power and my preeminence. Listen, and I'm going to open the doors of the church. The darkest hour means that dawn is just in sight. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open now.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.